Okay, there you go. Please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Excuse me. 1 Samuel 17. While you're there, let me tell you about my third son, Kazmasa. praise the Lord. He was born, last Sunday. Wow, so it's been a week. He's a week old, and he was born at 6:09 a.m. after a few hours of labor. He was 3 weeks early, but he was still 3.4 kilograms, so I guess that's pretty heavy. Heavy enough, and just healthy and good looking, and looks like his mom. That's why. All right. And it's been a week of long nights for my wife, particularly, but also my in-laws are staying with us and helping us out with my first and second son, Kyohei and Kenzo. So thank you very much for your prayers, your congratulations on Facebook, and your greetings, and the presents, too. Those are really nice, too. So praise the Lord. Today we've got some ground to cover in the scriptures. We'll be in the story of David and Goliath. I'm sure you know all of most of you know that. For those of you unfamiliar with it, I'll be going through it as well. And then after that, we'll have communion. So please prepare your hearts and minds for that as well. Okay, we're in 1 Samuel 17, 45 to 51. I'm going to read the climax of the story. And then what I'll do is I'll do some exposition of the narrative, and then just some brief application. But first of all, I'm going to read verse 45 through 49. I would like for you to join me in the last two chapters, verses 50 and 51. My favorite part, verse 51. You'll see why. But I'll read 45 through 49. Please read 50 and 51 together. Let me begin. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45. David said to the Philistine, that is Goliath, "You come against me with the sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Whew. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give all of you into our hands." Verse 48, as the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag, taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. Please read with me. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. That's the word of God. Amen. All right. Now, most of us here are familiar with this story. I'm going to say 99.9%, maybe a few here are not. What I'd like to do is take you through the narrative, and basically I'm going to take a beeline right to the cross. And so what we're going to see is David not as us, and Goliath not as our monsters. but David as Jesus, and Goliath as sin, and death, and hell, and Satan. But before we get into this, I need to take you all the way back to the book of Genesis. You see, David is just part of the greater story of God's rescue mission for the world. David is just one character that points to the character, and that is Jesus. That character was promised to our parents, Adam and Eve, way back in Genesis chapter 13. If you remember back, I preached on that, and the main point was, look, God, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, preached the gospel to our parents, Adam and Eve. The very first time the gospel was ever preached. And he said to the woman, he said, I'm going to put enmity between your offspring and the serpent, Satan. And he will crush your head, Satan, but you will bruise his heel. And in that verse, God, for us, declared war on our enemy, Satan, and sin and death. But like I said before, when God declares war, he is the ultimate warrior. He already has declared victory. And in that verse, he says, I'm going to crush your head with this character. And so we have all throughout, from Genesis up to Samuel, God getting ready. And he sends us characters and more characters, and we see in them Jesus Christ. And then we see in the ultimate one that we're going to see today, David, who is still a young man, likely a boy, maybe a teenager. He is going to fight the champion of the Philistines. His name is Goliath. And so the setting is, you've got the army of Israel, God's chosen people, on one hill. And then you've got the other army who oppose God's people, the Philistines, on another hill. And between them is the Valley of Elah. And as they're going to fight, the champion of the Philistines comes out. And the champion, in fact, the word in the Bible, the word champion could actually be translated the mediator, the one who represents the Philistines. And he comes out and he mediates for the Philistines. And he says, I'm not going to have everybody fight you all together. I'm going to represent my team, my people, and you send one who will represent your people. You send your mediator. And we'll fight one-on-one. And if it's my victory, it will be my people's victory. If it's his victory, it will be all of your victory. So the victor will have his victory given to his people. That's how it's going to go down. And so Goliath came out and he defied the armies of God. He defied God himself. There is no God in Israel. And then what happens is David, the seventh or eighth son of a man named Jesse, sends David to his brothers. There's three brothers in the army of Israel, the three eldest brothers. And he sends David with these gifts. He sends them with bread, with cheese, and with wine. And that's the first thing we see of Jesus Christ. God was sent from the Father to his brothers, his people. And he was sent with gifts, bread. He is the bread of life. Cheese, I don't know what that is. You figure it out. Sent with wine. Wine of gladness. I don't know, something good. All right? His first miracle was turning water into wine, right? But he comes out, and David, he meets his brothers. He says, here's everything. And he hears Goliath. And he sees how Goliath is defying the armies of Israel. And he starts talking. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Blah, 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 blah. Coming to defy God. How can he do that? And he starts talking like he's one of the soldiers. And his brother is like, what are you talking about? Get out of here. You're in the way. You have a brother like that? I do. My brother, no, never mind. So he was in the way, and his brothers didn't receive him. His brothers received his gifts, but they didn't want anything part of his work. In the same way, Jesus came to his brothers. Oh, they'll take the miracles. They'll take the bread. They'll take the wine. But you start talking about, I'm going to forgive sin, and I am God, you can go back with that. We don't need that. And he was, just like David, he was rejected by his brothers. And so David starts talking to the other soldiers. Well, man, if I was down there, I would be cutting his head off. And the soldier's like, yeah, that's right. You little shrimp. Go ahead, talk your big talk. And the talk gets up to the king, King Saul, back in the tent. Now, here's the king. The king is supposed to be the one in the valley leading his people into war. But what's he doing? He's in the back, hiding in a tent, waiting for someone to do his job. He failed. So David comes to the king. And he says, let me fight this uncircumcised Philistine. And King Saul says, well, you're just a boy. You can't do it. He says, well, King Saul, I'll tell you what. When I was back taking care of my father's sheep, lion came up and he tried to get my sheep. And another time a bear came up, tried to get my sheep. I took my sling out and whoosh! God took care of him. And then the lion tried to come and grab the sheep. And I grabbed that lion with my own hands. And I ripped him apart. That's some big talk. Okay? When I was a kid, I saw this movie called Shaka Zulu. Shaka Zulu was the kind that actually did that. He actually fought lions and ripped them apart. That's the only person I can think of. And when I read that, I'm thinking, wow, David was the first Shaka Zulu. Amazing. And I'm sure, I can't believe it. I'm King Saul, and I'm like, yeah, right. Who are you? But David is the only one. It's either two things. He's either telling the truth, or he's absolutely crazy, right? And so, look, Saul, what I'm thinking Saul says is, look, if you're telling the truth, you're the best shot we have. And if you're crazy, well, I can't stop you from fighting him. You're crazy. So go ahead. So here's my coat, my armor. Here's my sword. Here's my helmet. Do what you got to do. And what does David do? He's got all this stuff on. And he's trying to walk around. He's trying to pull the sword out. It's kind of heavy. And he's like, King Saul, I don't need this. I've never used it. I've never tried it. I don't need it. And Jesus says this, my kingdom, it's not of this world. Jesus said, look, you want to take this kingdom with the sword? You can't. Because those who live by the sword will die by the sword. Peter takes out a sword. He's trying to whacking people. Malchus' ear got cut off. And Jesus says, put that sword back. That's not what I'm about. The church does not need the sword. The church does not need political power. The church does not need more funds, more money. The church needs the Spirit of the living God going out in power through his people. And Jesus was the first one to reject the sword, reject the power of this world, just like David did. And what does he use instead? He goes out, and he's got his sling, and he gets 5 stones from the river. And with one stone, he nails Goliath right between the eyes. Just before I came to church today, I wanted to have church with my family. Because, obviously they can't be here. They got to be home. Pray for them. A lot of them are sick with a cold, and we're trying to keep the little one away from the older ones because of all that virus. But because they couldn't be here, I said, I want to have church with my family. So I took my boys upstairs.
We watched some YouTube worship videos, you know, Jesus, you're my superhero, and one way, Jesus, and we're doing that. And then I thought, all right, it's Bible time. Let's watch a YouTube Goliath and David and Goliath. And so we were just clicking through, and we found like this live-action David and Goliath, and it showed like a big guy, and he had a big old mask and shields and a huge sword. The sword was like a crescent shape, and then David, he's got nothing. He's got no armor, no shield, no sword. He just has that little sling, and he's just, you know, whipping it around. And he whips it, and this is what I love about the live action. It showed the stone just flying through the air and just nailing this big old giant right between the eyes, and blood is everywhere. And I grab my sons, and my sons are like, yeah! And we're like, yeah! Let's pray. You know? And that's what happened. That's how he did it. Jesus, what did he have? How did he kill the monster? What is the monster? He killed sin, Satan, death. He killed it with the stone. What's the stone? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the truth of God's word. That's all we need. That's all. It's the simple gospel being preached. That God loves us and our sin has separated us from God. And what we need is a hero to come and save us from our sin and reconnect us to God himself. And how did he do that? He did it with death. What happens? This is something I want to show you guys. This is the highlight. Okay, my toys aren't working, so bear with me here. Okay, let's get to this real quick. Verse 50, if you'll notice, in verse 50, David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone without a sword in his hand. That's one verse. Nothing in his hand, no sword. What happens in the next verse? David ran and stood over him, and he took hold of the Philistine's sword. He took that very instrument of death, which was meant to kill him. And he took that instrument of death and killed death itself. And he cut off his head. And he's sitting there and he's holding the head. Jesus Christ went to the cross. And the cross was supposed to be an instrument of death. And it was supposed to be that which meant his ultimate defeat. And Satan and hell thought, we've got him. He's dead. We've won. God is conquered. We are the victor. But 3 days later, Jesus Christ proved that death can't even hold him, that hell has no power over him, that sin has finally been vanquished by Jesus. And he took that which is supposed to be his death and killed death itself. Where am I getting this? From the Bible. If I can get there. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. 1 Corinthians 15. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Please say victory.
Victory.
Say it. Victory.
Victory.
Thanks be to God. He gives us the
victory
through our Lord Jesus Christ. Victory over what? Over depression? Okay. Over our bad situation at work? Maybe. Over the racism that we foreigners feel when we come to this country? Yeah, sure. Victory over a bad educational system? Probably. Victory over a wrong political system that oppresses people and is unfair? Maybe. All of those are Goliaths, and all of those are big deals. And all of those are things that come and attack us every day. Whether it's family situations that we feel we can't conquer, whether it's just this one relationship that seems to knock us down every time and we can't seem to kill it. Those are real Goliaths. But the ultimate Goliath is death and sin that ruins politics, sin that ruins our educational system, sin that ruins our relationships with each other, sin that causes racism and inequality, sin that destroys and ultimately brings death. And Jesus gave us victory by raising from the dead and coming, and before that, going on the cross. To Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins. Freed us from our sins. Here's the thing. David killed Goliath. Who gets the benefit? Israel. The people. David's victory becomes the people's victory. And so the victory of the one has been imputed to the victory of all who would follow that one, who is on the same team as that one. Let me get you to Romans, if I can get there. In all these things, Jesus, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Hallelujah. Praise God. I have the victory in Jesus Christ. Now, what does that mean? Let me just apply this very briefly. Because if you let that idea, if you let that truth run over you and wash over you and conquer you, it will turn you from the victim into the victor. Look, many of us think about Christianity as a therapy. How will it fix my depression? How will it give me strength because I'm a victim? And yes, it's true. We are victims. We've been victimized and sin has been committed against us. This is true. And that's part of it. And Jesus is portrayed as a shepherd, as a counselor, as someone gentle, and he picks us up and he lifts us up and he carries us into his home in his arms. And that's a wonderful thing. He's our high priest who relates to us. That's one image. But my dear friends, we are not just a sheep. It says in my Bible and in yours, we are more than conquerors. And we are ones who fight not for the victory, but from victory. We fight for not from the victory of our own, but from the victory that's been won for us, and that's Jesus. That's so crucial. That's so crucial. If you're going to live life in relationships to others when there's conflict, when you're being persecuted, when you're being ostracized by, it could be your name, it could be your nationality, it could be your faith. It could be your conflicts with the people above you. It could be your conflicts with the people below you. It could be the conflicts with your people around you. You are a victor. And how do you enjoy the victory of Jesus Christ in your life? The Bible gives it all of it. How does it do that? Really practical. Colossians. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. The first thing we need to understand in order to live the victory that Jesus won for us is to receive it every day. When the sin comes and when you fall and you stumble, You come back to this cross and you say, thank you, Jesus, that by your cross, my sins are washed away. My guilt is removed. My shame is removed. God does not remember my sin anymore. Hallelujah. And I'm going to get to that next week. David again. We're going to see a man after God's own heart. How does he prove that? Through repentance. And we're going to get to that next week. But right now, we're in the victory of Jesus Christ. But let's get really, really right down to the road. This is Paul, again, in Colossians. How do you live out the victory of Jesus Christ? How does it give you strength and perseverance? We pray that, this is Colossians chapter 1. We pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him every day. How do I live a life worthy of the Lord that pleases God? How do I do that? Bearing fruit in every good work. Growing in the knowledge of God. That's the Word of God. Being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. So that you may have great endurance and patience. Where does the endurance, where does the perseverance come from? How do I hold on? How does that come? Hold on, it's coming. Who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light? I'm part of the inheritance of the saints. I'm in a community of people. My faith is not just me by myself. But I live in a community of people so that when I share my testimony, when I ask for prayer, when I pray for others, when I give encouragements on Facebook and through email, I'm in this community of the inheritance of the saints. But how does that all come together? Where does that all come from? For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. It is through the victory of Jesus Christ that we have everything. I need you to understand that. I need you to really receive that. Jesus, it's because you won that even though it looks like I'm going to lose, I can have peace. I can have strength and I can persevere knowing that I have the victory in the end. What can separate me from the love of God? Sickness, death, and all the list goes on. Nothing. Nothing. We are more than conquerors. And so I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be fed by the victory of Jesus Christ. I want that for you. And you look at David, and you read that story, and I love it, and I'm reminded of Jesus Christ, how He won it all for me. Worship Him. Love Him. Come to Jesus. And let Him fight for you. I had it this week. I had it right, came up right to yesterday. I had one of my basketball players. We've been going at it all week. And we had a practice scrimmage yesterday. And I feel like I can't say anymore. I can't yell anymore. I can't scream anymore. God, what do I do? And I'm sitting there and I'm steaming. I'm like, Lord, I've been studying this all week. I have the victory in Jesus, but I can't even get this one high school player to play point guard for me. I say, oh, no, sit down. And we sit down, and I'm praying, Lord God, You've won the victory for me. You've won this argument. You've done it all for me. I need Your help. Give me strength. Give me wisdom. Give me humility. Give me patience. And we worked it out. And it's not going to work out every time. But thank God we worked it out there. And so it's not a victory over Him that I win. But it's Him that I win. It's the people that I win. I'm not here to win arguments or win fights. I'm here to win people. Because that's what He did for me. So I want to encourage you and feed you with that. And I want you to think of Jesus Christ your Lord as we prepare for the communion table. He won the victory for you on the cross. He gave His body represented in the bread. And in Isaiah it says, by His wounds we have been healed. You have hurts. You have pain. They are real. You have scars. It says, by his wounds we are healed. And if you would believe in Jesus Christ, your wounds are healed by his body. And he said, take this cup. It's my blood. It's the cup of my blood in the new covenant that I shed for you. And by it, our sins are washed away. And so Jesus, it's written of him, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Though your sins were as crimson, behold, they will be white as snow. And so I invite you, if you are a Christian and you're a believer and you believe in Jesus Christ, please come and partake with us. If not, if you haven't believed in Jesus Christ, it's okay. Please remain in your seat and just wait until a few more minutes. However, if you do believe and would like to get baptized someday and would receive Jesus into your heart, into your life, then please come. Let's all rise and come and partake. Just before Jesus went to the cross, he had dinner with his disciples. And it says that he took the bread and he said, this is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me. So let's partake in remembrance of Christ's body.